Welcome to the Veteran Experience with author, veteran, and judge Mark Johnson. On this show, we help veterans heal and be heard. We'll tell stories of struggle, of heroism, of the endless battle to preserve American liberty. We talk about the toll that service takes on our best and our brightest. And, you know, along that point, we're going to be talking today to Sandy Duchek. I don't get into a lot of her conditions from military service, but she has been the victim of severe military sexual harassment while on active duty. And Sandy is not one of these people to allow her life circumstances to get ahead of her. She turned this trauma into strength, and now she devotes her life to working with helping women veterans, both as an advocate, and these are all women who have suffered similarly to her. And let me say, I think she's one of the type of people who really distinguish the United States of America from every other country on earth. I know there's people like this in other countries, but I think we are blessed with a lot of them. And I think this lady who's about ready to come on is a pure example of that. I'm going to pick up about 10 seconds into the interview, so you don't have to hear me struggle with working my Tascam mixer and try to figure out how to answer a phone call. But with that, thank you for listening. Visit Veteran Sisters, their website, and here comes Sandy Duchek. I appreciate you talking to me. And so how are you doing today, Sandy?
I am doing great. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and have this conversation with you.
Well, let me tell you, I'll just tell people listening, I'll tell you how I met Sandy Duchek. I was invited last year, I think it was October or November of 2021. I was invited to an event by Congressman Mark Takano, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. It was a special event, and it was a breakfast, and with him was Secretary McDonough, who is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and they talked. And I was impressed with this lady who had this Veteran Sisters name tag on, named Sandy, who sat there and was calling the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to the carpet, just making sure that he knew that your organization, and especially you, were watching him. And I was really impressed. I was also impressed with that dog you had. You had a dog that's about 160 pounds or something. In fact, I'll ask you about that later, but so tell me about Veteran Sisters. What is the organization?
So Veteran Sisters is a nonprofit organization created by veterans for veterans. And our mission is to help heal and support veterans who come out of active duty service with military sexual trauma, both male and female. Although we do primarily work with women, we help a lot of men. They tend to be more comfortable coming to us than to some of the male-centric organizations. And Veteran Sisters actually came into being during a very dark time in my life. In 2016, I was sexually assaulted by a QTC contracted doctor who was doing exams on behalf of the Veterans Affairs for compensation and benefit for your disability. And it turned out that Paula Kemp, who is our president and founder of the organization, was his first known victim. And I ended up being his last known victim. And we met at his arraignment. And about 30 seconds after he was sentenced, 4 years later in 2020, Paula asked me to join Veteran Sisters as the vice president. And she was literally the only person I could not say no to, because she was the only person who literally knew exactly what I went through.
So this is more for you. This is more than just a job. I mean, this isn't.
This is my calling.
Yeah. In fact, that's something I hear a lot with our veteran brothers and sisters. It's a calling. It's not something they feel like they've been, just something they have to do. Is that kind of how you, that's how you feel? With
it yourself? Is. If I were going to choose a fight to fight, you know, I would not want to be fighting the military that I love, because they're doing something bad. It doesn't make me the people are like, oh, what do? Oh, I support, advocate sexual trauma victims in the military, and people like run away. And the unfortunate fact is that it's not a cheerful conversation, but it's an important conversation, and we need to get rid of it now.
Well, okay. So you love the military, and your calling is, it sounds like, really to make it better. Tell me a little about some of the, say, the women. I know this happens to men. I do believe it happens vastly more often to women. That's at least been my experience, and I think what the statistics show, but I'm not trying to, disrespect any of the men.
Yeah, so statistically, 9 out of 10 women leave military service and are treated for PTSD related to MSG. But, you know, anecdotally, I've never met a woman who didn't have some kind of sexual trauma, whether she was aware of it or not. When I first heard about MSG, I argued with the doctor, because I was like, hey, man, I was not raped. And she had to explain to me that it's not about the act of only rape. Serious, repeated sexual harassment, grooming. So you get a young female that comes in to a unit, and she, you know, say she's a master at arms in the Navy, which is a police officer. She's going to go in and, you know, just by the numbers, there's only going to be one or two women in her squad, if at all. And so she's in a very heavy male environment where they have been given, we'll say, permission by omission, because nothing happens to them when they do something bad, to treat women like objects, to do whatever they want, because they know that nothing's going to happen to them. So it's, MST is a very misunderstood thing. People tend to think of it as a mental health diagnosis, and it's not. MST is a crime. And you have mental health issues related to MST. So you get PTSD, you get depression, you develop addiction problems. And the unfortunate reality is that, and I know that you've seen this in your courtroom, Judge, that when someone, so let's take, I use an example called Sailor Jenny. Okay. Sailor Jenny, she enlisted in the Navy at 18. And at her first duty station, she is raped by her section leader, the person in charge of her health and well-being. When she attempts to report it, her commanding officer, in a he said, she said, bears on the side of not destroying the career of the sailor he mentored for the last 5 years. So Sailor Jenny has to work and live with this person for another year, sometimes two or longer, and knowing that he got away with it because they chose to believe that it couldn't possibly happen. So she starts drinking because she's underage. But it's the only thing that kills the anxiety and the depression. Well, she gets a DUI. She gets dishonorably discharged, kicked out. When you're dishonorably discharged, you can't get VA benefits. But now she's homeless, and she's a lot of my women end up prostituting themselves, whether it's for cash on the corner or in order to have a place to live. And then they don't ever seek help because they have a dishonorable discharge. No one believes them. And they've been betrayed three times by their assailant, their chain of command, and America returns and doesn't want to know.
Hey, let me slow you down there. Yeah. Because what's interesting is about 4 years ago, I wrote an op-ed that was published in, where was it, Task and Purpose. That's the big military veterans, one of the big military veterans online magazines. I swear it's almost like you took the facts of a young lady whose name I changed for the purposes of the article, but she had gone through a very similar thing. Interesting that she had been in an MP unit in Korea. She was 19 and alleged she was raped by a staff sergeant. And, you know, very often when these young women find themselves pitting their credibility against someone who a commander has deployed, his unit is deployed to combat with, they're going to lose every time. And it was consensual and funny. Sorry, I use that word funny, and this is nothing funny about this.
It's no, I'm the same way.
She started drinking. Then 8-9 months later, she gets thrown out. You know, the statistics of women who get put out after being sexually assaulted and after, reporting it and then not being believed is astronomical. It's about 60-70%. I don't have the figure in front of me, but in fact, I will cite the article in the notes.
Right.
To this. But yeah,
and you know what statistic they don't? You know what statistic they don't keep track of? They don't keep track of what happens to the accused. So less than 1% of reported sexual assault even gets less than 1% are even investigated or make it to conviction. And of those, what I have found in my research is I've only found one case where the assailant was dishonorably discharged and lost their pension. So they tend to get to keep their pensions. They get to keep their honorable discharges, and their victims are homeless and selling their bodies.
Well, we were talking beforehand. I talked to Sandy, and she kind of was mentoring me on how to make sure my phone didn't die in the middle of this conversation. But a couple things I told you, that the women that come before me in veterans treatment court or very often on diversion, but the ones that we really follow veterans treatment court, virtually all of them have suffered some type of military sexual trauma on active duty. I'll just say this, and I know Sandy, we're on the same team on this one. I as a father and a retired colonel, I've got a daughter and a stepdaughter, and I tell you what, if I heard this happened to my daughter, I'd want to fly over to wherever it happened and go face to face with both the guy that did it and also the command that seemed to like want to turn a blind eye to this crap. So I really appreciate what you're saying, everything you're saying. And like I said, we're on the same team.
Yep. I love the military. I grew up daughter of a gunny. And then I enlisted at age 30. I had a successful career in Hollywood as a television producer, and I left it because I wanted to serve my country. And I, until very recently, I just accepted that sexual harassment was the cost of being included. And that's the wrong mindset. And America needs to, nobody wants to have this conversation. No one wants to talk to someone who, their life's mission is to support and advocate for military sexual trauma victims, because people don't want to believe that it's more, that it's as common as it is. They want to believe that it's few and far between and the bad guy, gets it in the end. But that's not the case. The person that suffers is is the victim, and then they end up before you with their life in tatters.
Well, you know, I had in one of the articles I had, one of the article I wrote, every year the military, the Pentagon puts out a report, and the numbers have actually been going up in what's reported. I'd like to think that that's because people are feeling more emboldened to speak out. I don't know, but it's a major problem with you've got about, at least what I was reading on, probably about 20,000-25,000 cases a year in the active military. And I mean, that I don't know if a lot of
less
people understand
than 1% result in conviction. So you get 30,000 or 60,000 reports.
Yeah.
And then you get like 2 convictions. For me, I believe that the way we're going to end military sexual trauma is accountability when it happens. The problem is we're setting our leadership, we're setting our military leadership up for failure. So we tell our military leaders, male and female, you're going to mentor this soldier, this sailor, this Marine, this airman, and turn them into a war fighter. But the minute they get, you know, they get accused of something, and you don't want to believe that the person you invested yourself into could do that. And so you start blaming the victim. I get really irritated when the first question, I go with a lot of my veterans and active duty when they are reporting a current crime. And I cannot tell you how much it irritates me when police officers, their first question is, what were you wearing? Did you ask the dude that? I'm sorry, but I can walk naked through the street and it does not give you the right to rape me. But we as a culture don't want to believe that there are bad apples in the military. There are bad apples everywhere. And when you give them the authority and the power over someone to create this harm, and then you don't hold them accountable, you're showing them that they can do it again, and they escalate. Research has shown from the RAND Corporation that when it starts at like the E4, E5 level, and they are protected by their chiefs and their chain of command, and then they become in a position in order to protect an assailant. And we're doing our military leadership a disservice by expecting them to be trained sex crimes investigators. No, they're not.
No, that's not going to happen. That's not their mission.
Right. Really. That's not their mission. So why are we putting all of the onus onto them to root out sexual assault?
Well, you know,
and it shouldn't be a mark against them when they root it out. So, you know, you get your eval and you're like, oh, you know, there was 3 soldiers under his command that were convicted of sexual assault, and it's a mark against him. We should change that metric to be, hey, he rooted it out.
Well, you know, there is a Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. I just pulled this off the top. She is proposing an act that would put investigation of these types of offenses in a command outside of the command where it happens. So you'd have, for instance, I don't know, perhaps some judge advocate general's officers,
right,
that would have the job of investigating this. Investigators have looked into it outside of the chain of command. I wrote an article. The article I said, I thought that was a great idea, because I honestly think it's too hard internally to get rid of this when you're dealing with a unit that cohesiveness and the ability to go and watch each other's back in combat
right.
is paramount. And so, you know, who do you want to? You know, I one time dealt with.
I don't think anyone in uniform should be investigating these crimes. The reason is, you've got a young JAG, right? You got a lieutenant,
yeah.
And they still report to a captain. Sorry, I'm talking Navy ranks.
A colonel. A colonel. You just demoted. Right?
Yeah, I know. I love it when Army captains or Marine Corps captains call Navy offices because people freak out till they're like, oh, well, just a captain called.
Yeah, right? What service? Yeah, I know. True.
So, but you've got a young captain, and they report to a colonel who's friends with the colonel. The military is a small community. If you, even if you're not in the same, you know, MOS or the same job, you still grow up in the ranks together. And so now your boss's best friend soldier is being investigated and you're in charge of it. Oh, and by the way, you're a JAG. You're not a trained sex crimes investigator. Yeah. I think that it needs to be not exactly a big fan of NCIS as an organization, because I think they tend to be, you know, after the Gallagher stuff happened, where they actually bugged the lawyer's phone. Like, it needs to be people, federal service, whether that's federal police officers, even NCIS, but they need to be specially trained sex crimes investigators.
Well, no, I agree. It's my wedding anniversary today, and my neighbor's calling me up, and that's what that beep was. And honestly, he quit. He hung up. I'll call him F. But, okay, I think we've kind of talked about the scope of the problem. Although,
right.
One last question.
Yep.
You're obviously very passionate about this, and I watched, and I can attest to the entire world, I watched you call the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to the carpet on this. I know you've been the victim of this. I get the feeling that you're a very passionate person, and you want to protect your fellow service persons, men and women. I think that I'm right. And
yep.
To the point where you'd go to bat for all these people against the really one of the most powerful people in the United States. So you obviously feel strongly about this.
I do.
Yeah.
It's
nine. I saw you in action. I was impressed.
I was really I was wound up too, because it had just happened. So for your listeners, I was working with a female Marine Corps veteran who was sexually assaulted by her VA doctor in the Atlanta VA. And it had been almost 2 years at that point since she reported it. And he was still seeing patients. Even though other women had come forward, there was at least three women at that time that had come forward, and they were being lied to. They were being told that he wasn't seeing patients, and he was. And the VA, we earned the benefit of VA healthcare. Anyone who served in the military earned that benefit. And for a lot of us, it's the only place we have to go to help for healthcare. And if you have someone who's already been sexually traumatized and ignored and pushed aside, and the VA and my organization are encouraging them and pushing them to go to the VA for healthcare, and then they get sexually assaulted, that's not okay. And it's the VA's responsibility to watch that. And they don't do a very good job of it. The director of quality care didn't even know what had happened.
Let me tell you, I think the VA does a better job than they're often given credit to. But I will tell you, the last four times I've been down to the VA, I get a different doctor every time. That's supposedly my assigned doctor.
Right.
And I mean, that's what's going to happen. I mean, so tell me, okay, we've talked about the scope of the problem. Now, what is your feeling that, how do we solve this?
Solve it with accountability.
I mean, so, I feel like we're never going to solve it all the way. There's always going to be aberrations, but say get it down to a tenth of what it is now, or I don't know.
I'd settle if we could just reduce it by 20% a year. I mean, it is. I enlisted in the Navy at 30 years of age because I wanted to serve my nation. These young girls, and I came from Hollywood. So like I was used to sidestepping sexual harassment and, you know, deflection. And you get these 18-year-old women. I think of them as kids.
You're
20 years younger than me. You were a kid. And they go into the service, and for some, it may be the first time they've ever been, you know, out on their own, or for some of them, it's the first time they've ever had like real male attention, and it can be very flattering. But we teach these young men and women that as soon as you say no, it means no, but it doesn't mean no. Mm-hmm. And then they bad things happen. And if there's alcohol involved, I'll tell you right now,
it's going to be called
consensual.
Yeah.
And so the way we fix this, and it behooves America to fix this, because one, America is actually financing the lifestyles of sexual predators, because they are protected all the way through the ranks, and then they keep their very significant pensions, and then they get their VA disability. So a sexual predator gets to run rampant while active duty, and then he gets a veteran's preference so he can go into federal service and continue doing it. Mm-hmm. And we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on each one of them. So you're looking at millions of dollars a year going to finance the lifestyles of sexual predators, while their victims, who also put on a uniform and said that they were willing to do anything, including giving their lives in service to their nation, but instead they lose their soul because they were sexually assaulted, ignored, and blamed. And if you are accused of sexual assault, it needs to be properly investigated. And if you are convicted, you should not keep your pension. You should be dishonorably discharged so that you don't have access to those benefits. Because we can take all that money that we're spending on those sexual predators and put it towards the support and healing of their victims. And eventually, we won't be paying for sexual predators, and we won't have the problem of victims needing service, because it won't be worth it to rape someone or sexually assault someone or sexually harass someone to the point where they're self-medicating. And the nation as a whole, taxpayers will save a lot of money, and the resources will be going to doing the right thing. No parent should willingly send their daughters into a military where they're going to be destroyed from within. You expect it from the enemy, but the enemy should not be your brother in arms next to you. And so until we stop, we have to stop protecting them and stop giving them pats on the back. The Air Force General recently, there was an Air Force General recently who was convicted of aggressive sexual assault on a junior personnel, and his punishment, Judge, was to lose, he forfeited a month's pay. We need to send the message that we are not okay with this, and it ends, and that we end it with accountability.
Sandy, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for what you're doing, for the courage you show in your job, and how you're helping these ladies that really need advocates on their behalf. And I just want to say I'm a big fan of yours, and I am in your corner. For those listening, thank you very much for listening to the Veterans Experience. I need help on this. I'll take constructive criticism. You tell me what I can do better. And thank you, and God bless.